day. This is USA Radio News.
It's amazing but true. When it comes to one of America's biggest household expenditures, health care, a lot of people think they've got no choice. People are used to thinking we have to do it this way, but they don't. Yes, you have the freedom to choose an alternative with your health care. It's MediShare, and it costs way less than the alternatives. The typical family saves $500 a month, not a year, a month. And if you're single, this can save you a lot, too. And let's face it, a big reason MediShare is 400,000 people strong, it just works. They've shared over $3 billion in medical bills, so they can help share your needs, too. Joining MediShare for so many people is one of those things that makes you say, why didn't I do this before? So yes, the time has come for something better. Look into joining MediShare and see why so many people are opting out of the old way and into the new. Why not look into this? Just call 855-90-PSALM. That's 855-90-PSALM. 855-90-PSALM.
President Trump walked away from that summit with leader Kim Jong-un without making a deal with North Korea. And now a senior North Korean official says the U.S. threw away quite an opportunity. But U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo says that Hanoi summit was not a total failure.
I think we made real progress, even in Hanoi, even a place where we didn't reach the final resolution of what we've been asking for all along. We didn't get an agreement for the full and final denuclearization in a verified way.
Pompeo was speaking on Fox and Friends this morning. The Connecticut Supreme Court ruling that a gun maker can be sued over how it marketed the type of rifle used in the Sandy Hook Elementary School massacre. Justice is issuing a 4-3 decision yesterday overturning a lower court ruling that the lawsuit was prohibited. A nasty late winter storm hammering Colorado with snow and hurricane-force winds now moving on into the center of the country with heavy rains, flooding, and tornadoes. This is USA Radio News.
Mike Lindell, the creator of MyPillow, is a sleep genius. He creates things to make your night's sleep better. He created the new Giza Dreams bed sheets. He started by using the world's best cotton grown in the Mediterranean, and it's ultra soft, breathable, and extremely durable. Now, if you go to MyPillow.com, use promo code USA when you click on the Giza Dreams sheet special, you get 30% off and free shipping. 30% off and free shipping when you go to MyPillow.com.
Full House actress Lori Loughlin's daughters reportedly are leaving the University of Southern California before they face possible expulsion by the school. TMZ reports Olivia and Isabella are withdrawing from USC, afraid of being viciously bullied, as Loughlin and her fashion designer husband are now accused of paying $500,000 to have those daughters designated as recruits for the crew team at USC, even though the two girls never participated in that sport before. The Securities and Exchange Commission is charging Volkswagen and its former CEO with defrauding U.S. investors. In a news release, the SEC says VW raised billions of dollars through the corporate bond and fixed income markets while making deceptive claims about the environmental impact of its supposedly clean diesel fleet of vehicles. The SEC also accusing the company of making false, misleading statements to investors. And actress Rosario Dawson is confirming that she and New Jersey Democratic Senator Cory Booker are a couple. When TMZ was asking if there was any such truth to a relationship with Booker, Dawson answered, yes, very much so. Reports in January were the 39-year-old actress and Booker were, in fact, dating. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hi, I'm Jeannie Murphy, host of Talented People Radio, produced by Mariah Media. Our show is fun, and we specialize on interviewing some of the most awesome people from around the world. Tune in and watch our live stream on Facebook, and don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel so that you can watch past episodes. Talented People airs every Wednesday from 3 to 4 p.m. Join us for some fun.
And the weather forecast for the Huntington County area starts today with showers and thunderstorms likely, mainly before 3 p.m., then showers likely and possibly a thunderstorm after 5 p.m. Patchy fog after 4 p.m., otherwise cloudy with a high near 65, and southwesterly winds around 10 miles per hour with gusts as high as 26 miles per hour. The chance of precipitation is 60%. New rainfall amounts of less than a tenth of an inch is possible, especially during the thunderstorms. Tonight, showers likely and possibly a thunderstorm before 8 p.m., then a chance of showers between 8 p.m. and midnight. Patchy fog before 9 p.m., otherwise mostly cloudy, then gradually becoming mostly clear and a low around 41 degrees. Southwest winds will be 7 to 14 miles per hour, and the chance of precipitation is 60%. New precipitation amounts will be, again, less than a tenth of an inch. Saturday, sunny skies, a high near 47, westerly winds between 13 and 16 miles per hour, with gusts as high as 29 miles per hour. Saturday evening, mostly clear, a low around 28, and westerly winds between 8 and 13 miles per hour. The gusts will be as high as 23 miles per hour. On Sunday, enjoy sunny skies again with a high near 43, northwesterly winds between 6 and 8 miles per hour. On Sunday night, a slight chance of rain and snow, showers between 9 p.m. and 3 a.m., then a slight chance of snow showers after 3 a.m. Partly cloudy skies, a low around 28, and the chance of precipitation is 20%. Start your work week on Monday with partly sunny skies and a high near 44.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
And welcome to Hands Across Hunterdon, Hunterdon Helpline radio show, between 10 and 11 every Friday morning on the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce radio station. I'm Susan Lax, the Executive Director of Hunterdon Helpline and your host of the show. Hunterdon Helpline, 50 years this year, and we are celebrating that throughout the year, so stay tuned. Who is Hunterdon Helpline? Well, your first call for help. That's our staff. Anytime, any challenge, 24/7, 365 days of the year. Again, for any challenge, whether it be basic human needs, shelter for both Hunterdon and Somerset counties, for the homeless, mental health needs, senior family and youth services, employment, emergencies, suicide prevention, compassionate listening, any need and any time. And we hope that you call also for our other programs that help seniors age in place, connect Hunterdon County employees with Hunterdon County employers, and also our literacy services, which teaches both adult learners whose first language is English and also adult learners whose first language is other than English. Hunterdon Helpline, your first call for help, 908-782-4357. That's 908-782-4357. Or visit us on the internet at www.helplinehc.org. That's helplinehc.org. And I am very excited today because Brooke Renkins with Catholic Charities is here. Hi, how are you doing,
Susan,
Brooke?
How are you? Thank you for having me.
I'm so glad to have you because Brooke and I see each other quite often.
Yes, we do.
We are on a bunch of human services committees in the county, and particularly the Hunterdon County Human Services Advisory Council. And most recently, Brooke, who is the Mobile Response and Stabilization Services Director for Catholic Charities, was part of a mental health resources panel that was presented at what we take that acronym and call it HASAC or HSAC or what have you. And I have to say, your research, Brooke, was unbelievable. She definitely has her hand on all I'll call them communication devices, if you will, that really can lead you to the appropriate mental health resource. So we're really glad to have you here. And again, I love working with you and to try to save the world. But tell us a little bit. That was a mouthful. Your title is a mouthful. Mobile Response and Stabilization Services. Exactly what is that?
Sure. So New Jersey is one of the only states in the country that has a 24-hour response system for children with any mental health or behavioral health need. It's a remarkable system. It's in every county in the state. It is run by the Department of Children and Families. It's a subset, then, is the Children's System of Care. Through that, right, is Children's Mobile Response. And so it's a lot to understand. It's a very simple process, similar to 100 Helpline, right? It's your first call. It'll meet all of your needs. So in the state of New Jersey, Perform Care is a system that oversees the children's mental health system. So if a parent, a caregiver, a professional needs assistance for a child 0 to 21, any need whatsoever, substance use, developmental disability, a mental health crisis, the family's becoming unraveled, unstable due to mental health issues, you call Perform Care. So for us, it's an 877 number. So 877-652-7624. It is 877-652-7624. That is Perform Care. If a parent calls Perform Care and there's a crisis for a child, Mobile Response gets authorized to dispatch. So that's where the Mobile Response comes in. And we have a 1 hour response time in the community to any mental health crisis, which truly you talk about access to mental health care. We can be in your home or in the community within an hour, which I think is just a phenomenal resource for parents. And I don't think that they know that it exists. I think parents get overwhelmed. They don't know where to go. They don't know who to call. They need someone there immediately, right? Or this crisis is going to get bigger, and we can respond. And then part of that response system is the stabilization part. So we can respond. We can de-escalate a crisis, and then we stay with the family for 8 weeks to help them become more stable over time.
Wow. I want to emphasize that you stay with the family for 8 weeks. That's crucial for success.
It absolutely is, because we get to see the family when they need help the most. And so you want, insight into a family. You get to walk into their home, right? They're asking you for help. I think that's just a phenomenal... talk about humanity, right? That's you get to see someone at their weakest when they're wanting help from you, and we're there to help them. So that bond, right, we respond quickly because the bond you make with the family during a crisis is a bond that you're not going to get at any other point in time. So we do. So we link them to services. We can put in a professional, a licensed counselor, can go into their home about a week later and stay with that family as well. A big push for our team is to link families to informal supports. So areas in the community that are going to be stable, they're going to be present long after we're done after 8 weeks. I think that 8 weeks is very, very vital, very crucial. The definition of a crisis, it alleviates itself after 8 weeks, whether someone intervenes or not.
Oh, that's interesting.
So that's why it's an eight-week program. So 8 weeks can pass. Something is going to change 8 weeks later, good or bad, right? But we want to be the catalyst for something good to come out of our intervention. So 8 weeks, we check in with the family once a week. We can attend meetings. We can attend family team meetings, school meetings, anything they want us to attend to help. Because we know a lot of resources that families don't. We know a lot of resources that schools don't. So we're really there to guide the family. And we're all about youth voice and family voice. So we don't tell families what to do. We don't tell families where to go. We let them guide us, and then we help support them in their family plan.
That's incredible. So I do have a question, because we get these calls at Helpline, and we refer out. So for those who are listening, when they have a crisis at home with their child, how do they say to themselves, this is a 911 call, this is a Perform Care call? Mm-hmm. Most often we get the call because they want us to tell them,
right,
or this is a behavioral health call, or this is a New Jersey Hopeline call. We've got all these different avenues for assistance. When do we know to go straight for the jugular, so to speak?
It's a great question. We get that question all the time. 911 for us, there's an immediate threat of harm.
Right.
So violence, self-harm, harm to others.
You can't wait the hour.
You can't wait. So, you know, police are going to respond, obviously, immediately. So anything that's going to escalate out of control that is not manageable within that home and someone's going to get hurt, absolutely 911. I mean, I feel like that's the first call. And we're trying to do better to partner with local police.
That was my next question. Do they know once they're on the scene who then to call?
So, I mean, that's a process, right? And I think that we're all trying to learn what everybody else does so we all can support this community better. You know, the police can respond and de-escalate, you know, in their own fashion, but then link the family. Okay, so things are calm. Now we recommend that you call Perform Care. That's how ideally we want the process to work. But anytime there's an immediate threat, absolutely 911. If there's a threat of suicide, right, you call psychiatric screening. I think that's something you don't want to, right, you don't want to play around with that. You call, and that's HBH here in Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Behavioral Health.
Correct. So suicidal ideation, a suicidal threat, right, it's Hunterdon Behavioral Health. A threat of violence, it's a 911 call. If it's something else, right, that really can, within an hour, be managed, you want to call Perform Care. And again, it's birth to 21. So 18 and over, they can call themselves and access services.
And give us that number before we take a break, Brooke.
It is 877-652-7624.
And let me emphasize that you may not have a problem now, but mental health issues affect us all. It's a good number to keep. Keep on the refrigerator. Keep in your wallet. Hopefully you'll get through life with your children without needing this, but it's a good number. Along with 911, helpline's number, it's a good number to have. We'll be right back after these breaks.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
And welcome back to Hands Across Hunterdon, Hunterdon Helpline's radio show Friday mornings on the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce radio station. I'm Susan Lax, host of the show. And if you're just joining us, we have Brooke Renkins, who is the program director for the Mobile Response and Stabilization Services of Catholic Charities. And she has taken us through what happens with that mobile response. Very interesting, very, I'm going to say, instead of complex, detailed. There is, as you call it, a process when somebody's in crisis, birth to 21. And what I'm hearing is when that family is in crisis, they need to have the assurance that they're going to get assistance. And I absolutely love the fact that you said you show up, but then there's 8 weeks of not to belittle it, but hand-holding and resources and guidance and so forth directed by the family.
Yeah, so, you know, families are experts on their family. We are called in to be experts, right, on resources, on mental health. We can't expect parents to understand the mental health system. So I think to ask for help, it's not any different than going to your mechanic and saying, like, I don't understand cars. You do. Help me. I think...
Good analogy.
We talk a lot about stigma, right? And I think parents are afraid to say, like, I don't understand my child's behavior because they're my child. But you know, people are complex. Children are complex. There's a lot of external factors that parents don't see on a day-to-day basis. So I think calling for help really is... It's no, and people need to think about that, right? You go to the doctor, you go to the mechanic, you have someone come repair your dishwasher. It's really no different when you need assistance. You need an expert to come in and guide you. You know, you talked about Hopeline, right? For children in particular, I believe the ages are 12 to 22. They're second floor for help. And so that's similar to Hopeline, a service in the state geared towards adolescents.
These are state agencies that will help you 24 hours. So just to clarify, when someone calls Helpline and says that they are contemplating suicide but not in imminent danger, again, we want to be very specific mm-hmm. with that. You call 911. No ifs, ands, or buts. At Helpline, we try to get some information, just a phone call, a phone number, or what have you. So if we call 911, they can ping the person and get there. So imminent danger, 911. But New Jersey Hopeline and these other avenues for assistance are there 24/7, and we will stabilize and then go ahead and transfer over because, as you say, they are experts and very important in this field.
They are, and they know how to triage, right? And they know the right things to say. I think people need to... You know, in general, our society, it's okay to have a bad day. It's okay not to feel okay. And I think that, you know, I have bad days. Everybody has a bad day, and that's okay, right? It doesn't have to be this dramatic, you know, ideation and I'm suicidal. It's okay to not feel your best, right? Kind of wonder what the future holds for you.
And not wait till you get to a crisis
sure.
point either, because there are resources you don't have to go into emergency mode for, but Catholic Services certainly have those resources, as do other organizations, and we'll get into that. But to your point, Brooke, as a parent, we love to say, nobody handed me a manual.
Mm-hmm.
And that's for the everyday stuff. You know, that's how to get your kid potty trained, and that's how to get your kid in middle school to, you know, circumvent all of that trauma and drama.
Mm-hmm.
So certainly, if your child is experiencing, and I like the way that you put it, a bad day, because we don't know how in-depth that problem is at that moment in time, there's nothing wrong with reaching out.
And one of the things we're looking, you know, in general is we're using the term trusted adult, right? That we want children to have someone that they trust who's an adult who can help guide them when they have a bad day, when something happens and they don't know where to turn. And we all know it might not always be their mother or their father. We hope, right? But as long as there's an adult around who can guide them, that's the community that we want to create for these children. And it could be a coach. It could be a teacher. It could be someone at the church. We want to be able to have families identify who that child can go to when they're struggling.
And also a parent shouldn't feel guilty. Oh, my gosh, my kid can't talk to me. You know, at various stages of our lives, there are people we could talk to, even within the parental realm. Sometimes it's easy to go to dad, you know, then mom. They like to, you know, kids are always being called out for blaming it on the other one or what have you. But there's nothing wrong. I think the quote-unquote parent who is on top of things understands that maybe there is another person. And so by giving license to their child to explore that avenue is a wonderful thing. It's a gift from a parent to be able to say, I don't feel guilty. I'm good with this. Whoever you have to talk to is good in my book, appropriate for me.
Yeah, I mean, to let that child know, right? We just want you to be safe. We want you to be healthy. We want you to be happy. And whatever I can do to support you in that, I'm going to do. And you hope as a parent, whoever that trusted adult is also going to talk to you if there are some serious areas of concern. And that's the relationship that you want to build. So we don't want parents not to be in the loop and not to be part of that communication, but that trusted adult should be a family trusted adult, that everybody has that child's best interest at heart. You know, people are different. I don't like to talk to everybody, right? There's certain people I go to when I have a bad day, and those are the people we want to identify. When we go into families' homes, we'll ask parents, right? When you have a bad day, who do you call? And it could be their best friend, it could be their sister. People need to take note of that. Like, those are the people that are really important in their lives. And it's the same thing for children. When you're having a bad day, what do you do? Who do you talk to? And if they identify a peer as a support, we want to group that peer into our crisis planning as well, because they're important. So it's a big process, and we're all here to support one another, right? So things don't escalate out of control to the point where things become traumatic and catastrophic for everybody.
And I think, you know, before the break, I said keep the Perform Care number on your refrigerator, whether you're experiencing issues like this or not, you never know. But I think establishing that trusted person ahead of time. You know, what if on a simple note, a child's having a crisis at school and, you know, you're a parent, you're at work, your phone is off because you're in a meeting or what have you, we don't want it to get away from us. Who is the second person? Just as if all of a sudden, you know, there is, you know, just a physical crisis at home. Oh, I smell gas and I can't reach mom. Who am I supposed to call next? Mm-hmm. And really identifying sort of that chain of command when you hit any crisis should be done ahead of time.
Absolutely. And that's part of the planning that we go in and try and do with families. So, yes, we're going in once they've called, but to remind them, right, we're not reinventing the wheel for your family. So let's just bring to the forefront who you've been calling in the past, right? Your family's been alive and stable and functional for a long period of time, so something has been working. So let's go back to what has been working. And just remind you of that. I think that's important. I think families do a lot of things right the majority of the time. You know, they know what works for their family, but sometimes you need a little reminder. Like, hey, you're doing a really good job, and this is okay that this happened. Let's just help you get through that.
And deal with the stigma. You know, we, again, I said Helpline and Catholic Charities, we sit on all these different committees, and of course there's the anti-stigma committee that is a subset of the mental health board in the county. And even just sometimes admitting to your physician that your child has a mental health issue and asking that question, where do I go, often comes with a, I don't want to say maybe an unjustified stigma that you feel you have, that somebody's going to think less of your child if you identify this issue. And we're really trying to combat that. I think it's really important that people understand, again, to your point, Brooke, that every one of us has dealt with a mental health issue. We use the word, or I should say we use the sentence, I'm depressed today,
right,
very loosely.
Right.
On the other hand, that is, in fact, depression. Mm-hmm. Whether it's momentary, chronic, or otherwise, all of us have experienced this. That's a mental health issue. And I think we have to start looking at this in a way that we address it like any other. I have the flu today. It's okay to have the flu. It's okay not to go to work because I have the flu. This stigma is something that we really need to eradicate. But we'll be back with Brooke after these few messages.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
More on the deadly shootings at two mosques in New Zealand. The Australian-born suspect, one of four people, being held in connection with the deadly shootings that left 49 people dead and wounded dozens of others, claims his motivation was revenge. The alleged white supremacist said to me in his 20s, writing a manifesto in which he refers to himself as a fascist and says he wanted to kill as revenge for terrorism attacks in Europe.
There is no place in New Zealand for such acts of extreme and unprecedented violence.
That's the New Zealand Prime Minister. A dozen Senate Republicans joining Democrats yesterday in slapping down the President's declaration of a national emergency at the southern border. That after the House passed the similar resolution last week. Sources telling CNN the President may publicly veto that measure later today. This is USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you. We'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
And the weather forecast for the Hunterdon County area. Showers and thunderstorms likely, mainly before 3 p.m. today. Then showers likely and possibly a thunderstorm after 5 p.m. Patchy fog after 4 p.m. and otherwise cloudy with a high near 65. Southwesterly winds will be around 10 miles per hour with gusts as high as 26 miles per hour. The chance of precipitation is 60%. Tonight, showers are likely and possibly a thunderstorm before 8 p.m., then a chance of showers before 8 p.m. and midnight. Patchy fog before 9 p.m. and otherwise mostly cloudy, gradually becoming mostly clear with a low around 41. Southwesterly winds will be between 7 and 14 miles per hour. The chance of precipitation is 60%. On Saturday, sunny skies, a high near 47. Westerly winds between 13 and 16 miles per hour and gusts as high as 29 miles per hour. Saturday evening mostly clear, a low around 28. Westerly winds between 8 and 13 miles per hour with gusts as high as 23 miles per hour. On Sunday, sunny skies, a high near 43. And northwesterly winds between 6 and 8 miles per hour going into Sunday night, with a slight chance of rain and snow showers before 9 p.m. and 3 a.m., and then a slight chance of snow showers after 3 a.m. with partly cloudy skies and a low around 28. The chance of precipitation is 20%. On Monday, partly sunny skies and a high near 44. And we are back with Hands Across Hunterdon. Hunterdon Helpline is the host of this show every Friday morning between 10 and 11. Hunterdon Helpline, your first call for help for 50 years this year. We'll be having a lot of celebrations to celebrate not just the good work we do, but the collaboration that we have had over the years with all the other organizations, be them government, other nonprofits, or for-profits. And so we're so happy during this show to be talking to Brooke Rankins from Catholic Charities. She is the Mobile Response and Stabilization Services Program Director for Catholic Charities. And I have to say, Brooke, I don't have to tell you, actually, because you know we collaborate quite a bit. And I just cannot tell you how many programs and services Catholic Charities provides to our community and across the state, and of course across the country. But right here in our little enclave, Brooke, I don't know what some of our nonprofits who have clients that we need to refer to have programs. We always say we're the little engine that can. You guys are definitely the little engine that keeps on trucking, and so we appreciate that.
Thank you. Catholic Charities has a lot of services in the county that, right, so we're overseen by the Diocese of Metuchen, so we're across four counties, and here we're right on Park Ave in Hunterdon County, right here in Flemington. And we are
very accessible.
Very accessible. Really trying to serve those that may be underserved in different areas. So we know there are barriers with insurance. There's a barrier, you know, with stigma. All these things that we talk about, and we want to alleviate those as much as we can. So we have an outpatient program. We have a lot of contracted programs. We have an in-home therapeutic program. But again, you would just call our main office and just tell them what you need, and they can direct you in the right area.
Main office number is
908-782-7905.
Again?
908-782-7905.
Great. I mean, again, another one of those numbers that you really should have in your pocket. If not, you call the helpline, and we certainly will direct you to Catholic Charities and the appropriate services that they have. And because you have all those services, Brooke, you really have your hand on the needs of what's going on in this county and terms of the folks that actually need assistance. And you had given me a little list here about the increases. We are looking at increases. You and I are committed to saving the world. We'll eradicate stigma. We'll certainly provide resources for mental health issues and so forth. But you are seeing an increase, and this is unbelievable, youth suicide ideation. Mm-hmm. We know this because of recent experiences with the high schools. You're seeing a need for early intervention substance abuse because we know what's going on with the opioid
right.
Problems. And again, the immigration population increasing. Not that they have any more or less than any other groups in the county, but there comes a need for help with the language barriers as well. So providing services across those demographics can be a little unyielding and a little overwhelming. But tell us a little bit about how we can cope with those increases and where are they coming from? The increase in youth suicide and actually adult suicide. When you listen to the news, we hear one celebrity after the other.
Right. You know, so we all know it's prevalent in society. I think that for us, it's making the difference between suicidal ideation and an actual threat of suicide. I think, unfortunately, it's become the vernacular of our adolescents, right? I just want to die. I don't want to be here. I wish I didn't have to come to school tomorrow. And these are seen now as perceived threats, and they should be, right? Because they're warning signs.
And that's the ideation
of
it.
That's the ideation, right?
In other words, you have the idea. That's where it comes from. You have the idea. It's we do use language loosely.
Yeah.
Very loosely. As I said before, certainly, I'm depressed.
Mm-hmm.
And what does that mean? And do we take it literally?
Right.
So, again, the ideation, we don't want to make a mistake.
Correct. And that's the thing. There's a warning sign there. Right? Whether a youth is just saying, ugh, I'd rather die than go home tonight. Okay. Do I really think that they're going to, you know, commit suicide before they get home? Probably not. But let's look at why they don't want to go home. Let's look at whatever that barrier is. So that's where we want to focus our attention. We certainly, you know, assess for a plan, for intent, for access to means. We take every threat very seriously, but it is kind of common language, and that becomes unfortunate, right? Because every threat then is looked at as it should be, right? But with a closer set of eyes, but there becomes this jump to, you know, every child now is suicidal. I think that there's this agency out there now, Society for the Prevention of Teen Suicide. They're making their rounds across the state. And it is. It's an adolescent population just doesn't have the means to see any other alternative other than death, right? They're young adults. They don't know how to cope. We're trying to build resiliency. And so their answer is, I'd rather just die. And so how do we get in and give them other tools, give them other coping strategies, help build resilience? Because that breakup in high school, right, that is the end of the world, and we understand
and
that.
And we have to take that seriously.
Absolutely.
And since caveman times, okay? Yeah. Some of these issues mm-hmm. are not new. And I think we've learned our lesson that when someone, you know, dramatically puts their mm-hmm. hand to their forehead and, oh, my God, I just want to die. We've been saying that for years yes. as youth. Yep. But we have learned that we don't necessarily just take it as dramatic, that it could yes. be the seed towards something really violent.
Absolutely. And it's also teaching, you know, youth to use different language, right? So, you know, if you say this, right, we're going to take this seriously, but is there something you could say instead that really reflects what you really mean? You know, we had a child the other day who said the same thing. I just want to die. When we dug a little deeper, he just wanted to be left alone. And so that was a way for him to get everybody away from him, right? So next time, can you just say, can I have 5 minutes? Can I be left alone? It's always a teachable moment in every instance that we have. And so I think that there are so many resources put into suicide prevention, right? But people need to know that they're out there as well. It's communication. It's losing that stigma. It's knowing there are people that are experts in this field that can help. You know,
well, I've told you, Brooke, but during the break, that I was and am. My children are adults now. That I'll give you. I won't tell you their age, but I'll give you that. I am proud of it. A helicopter mom. Mm-hmm. When does a parent know, though, when some child says like that, I just want to die, and all he wanted was space? Mm-hmm. When do we know when to go in full helicopter with, you know, yep. worrying and stuff like that, or to take a step back and say he needs his own space, he needs time, he needs to be able to breathe, and I am hovering mm-hmm. and getting into his in his way?
That's a great question. You know, because same thing as parents, you want to take every threat that your child makes as serious. But it's having that further conversation. So can you tell me what you mean? So,
or tell the person that you've designated right. as the person that child can talk to and not feel guilty if, mm-hmm. if they didn't share with their parents.
Yeah, absolutely. And asking the right questions. So there's a Columbia Suicide Severity Rating Scale that's evidence-based, and they have it modified for parents, for caregivers, for other professionals, and it is asking. So you said you wanted to die, but have you really thought about making plans to do that? And if you have, what are those plans? And there are all these follow-up questions that you can ask to dig a little deeper. But I think it is not just taking that one sentence and then run away scared. Sit down and talk about that, right? So what happened? And if you do die, what's that going to look like? You know, we try and focus a lot on forward thinking with adolescents. So they say they want to die, right? But are they still looking forward to prom in a month, right? And so how do we focus on right things that are happening in the future? They
right.
still can be excited about and get them thinking more about the future instead of this immediate, right, devastating event, whatever it is. It's going to pass. And how do we support that youth through that transition? There's going to be obstacles in life for all of us and challenges for us. I think it's our job as parents, as role models, as professionals, to teach children how to handle, right, how to handle obstacles and then come out better on the other side. But they need someone around to model that for them. And it's not being afraid to have conversations.
Right. And that's difficult for a parent. We are spinning those plates mm-hmm. every day. And some of those plates are our children. You know, as I said, I was a helicopter mom. So, yeah, I'm at school. Mm-hmm. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I'm driving them all around. Sometimes you need to let those plates fall on the ground and hear what's going on. Hear what the mm-hmm. other noise is besides those plates. Question for you, though, because I was talking to one of our colleagues. And we had both taken mental health first aid.
Correct.
And so what is the correct question? Because it used to be, are you going to hurt yourself? Mm-hmm. Come right out and say, are you going to hurt yourself? And now it seems leaning towards, are you contemplating suicide? How do we ask that first question to know when we go into 911 mode or mm-hmm. we go into New Jersey Hope Line or we call Perform Care? What is the correct question to say to somebody to get it immediately out there on the table?
I think it's hard because the question, right, we're trained to ask is, do you want to die? Do you want to die, or do you have thoughts of not waking up tomorrow? It's that. I think people tiptoe around a lot. You need to just ask somebody, you know, do you want to die? And if they say yes, then you go into, okay, we need to get you some help.
Versus, do you want to hurt yourself?
Right. Because self-harm is different than, that's a whole other can of worms, right? But self-injurious behavior is not synonymous with a suicide attempt.
And not as imminent a threat
to
that person's welfare.
Are warning signs, and there are accidental suicide. I mean, everything, again, is serious. And so it's a warning sign. Behaviors are communication. But to not be afraid to just simply ask, like, do you want to die? And be ready for that response, right? And that, I think that's what people need to be prepared for. If you're going to ask the question, can you handle the answer? You know, parents, I think, are afraid to ask their kids some questions because they don't want to know the answer, right? Because they don't know how to do that information, or they don't know where to go from there.
Right, exactly. And I think another part of that, too, is if you don't ask the question, then you don't give them an idea that perhaps they didn't have before, mm-hmm. which seems to be a cultural thing, mm-hmm. and not just about suicide or what have you. But, I remember back in the day when you couldn't say the C word, mm-hmm. cancer,
right.
and, you know, oh, he has, oh,
right.
you know. mm-hmm. So I think that's part of that, too. I don't want to give my child any ideas. But let me end this segment before we bring Brooke back for our last leg of the show. You can't go back when you've already made a decision.
Mm-hmm.
So to ask those questions, to be upfront, and to know that your child in this day of social media, they've heard it all, you can ask the question. We'll be right back with Brooke. I just want to give, if you're listening and have to run, Catholic Charities, 908-782-7905. That's 908-782-7905. We'll be right back.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Everybody over there!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Welcome back to Hands Across Hunterdon. We are the show of Hunterdon Helpline, your first call for help, 908-782-4357, 908-782-4357. For 50 years and hopefully another 50, we are available to you 24/7, 365 days of the year, including holidays. We provide basic human needs, shelter for homeless in Somerset and Hunterdon County, mental health resources, senior family and youth services, employment emergencies. The list goes on and on. We collaborate with the other organizations in the area to make sure that you don't just get a phone call. You get case management and a plan for a trajectory of success and sustainability. So give us a call at 908-782-4357. That's 908-782-4357. We're talking with Brooke Renkins from Catholic Charities. She's the program director of the Mobile Response and Stabilization Services. And it's just been fascinating, Brooke. We've touched on so many different things, and the resources of Catholic Charities abound. I mean, just abound. And we're happy to collaborate with Catholic Charities, but also to make those linkages. And part of that case management is so important. And you mentioned that when you talked about the mobile response unit that comes out and stays with the person, or obviously the staff stays with the person for 8 weeks because of that case management, making sure that you didn't just solve the momentary crisis, but that you're averting more to come. And we have a crisis. We keep hearing about it, opioids, and what they have done across the board, not just with our youth, mind you, but adults as well, who get prescriptions and suddenly realize they've got an addiction. Where do we go from here? There's this increase. Are we stopping it at all? Is there any sort of bump in the road, a roadblock that we could help foster?
It's one of those, you know, another hot topic for everybody is substance use. And, you know, we started this with talking about the children's system of care. And so that 877-652-7624 number is also an entry point for parents that need a substance use evaluation for their child. And so if they know, you know, there's a possible addiction, there's substance use, they're worried, an evaluation can happen through the state through that same number. But I think for us, it's learning to identify substance use. And so there's been a shift in language with substance use, substance abuse, dependence. For mobile response,
codependence.
It's everywhere. And I think the spectrum of how people look at substance use is changing. But for us, so any child 12 or older, we automatically give, it's called the CRAFT, but it's a substance use assessment. So that's mandatory for us now. So we can start to identify sooner than later any predictors for future abuse. And so I think that's one strategy that we're starting to use, because we know if you just simply ask an adolescent, are you drinking? Are you smoking? And if they say no, most people move on, right? It's the same thing. It's the fear of the answer, because what are we going to do if they say yes? And so we have...
My child doesn't do that.
What? Doesn't what? Doesn't, right, doesn't drink,
drugs,
doesn't smoke,
doesn't
right.
Drink, doesn't, you know.
Right. And that's easier in the moment, right, to look away. But the long-term effects, we know, right, are very detrimental. So if we can identify, you know, 12 and older, right, who are starting to dabble in drinking, vaping, right, it's a huge, you know, talk about opioids, but, like, vaping is becoming huge. And what does that really lead to? Because I don't think we understand that yet. And so for...
But how do you... But, the conversation, when you ask that question, you get a no, and you really want more information. You know, many parents look at that and say, well, I have to trust my son or daughter. But we were talking about this in terms of how do you ask the question of, do you want to die, for someone who may be contemplating suicide? What is the correct question to ask so we don't get that flip no, and we can have a discussion. Because once the child says no, then you're sort of like, well, I don't believe you if you press it further. So how can we start that conversation so we don't nip it in the bud when we, that's not where we want to go?
That's another great question. So I think it's really hard because you don't want to normalize substance use, right? But you also want to have an open conversation with your child about, are your friends drinking? Are your friends doing drugs? Have you ever been in a car with anybody who's been drinking or doing drugs? Do you think these behaviors are affecting your friends, your social life, your family? You're looking for those warning signs. So it could be the clothes they're wearing, the music they're listening to, the friends they're surrounding themselves with, a change in interests. So maybe they were on a sports team last year. They have no interest in being on a sports team. You need to start to look at that. But I think for us, it's about keeping and teaching parents to keep children safe. So to have that conversation, you're going to a party on Friday. What are you going to do if you can't get home? What are you going to do if John, who brought you, isn't okay to drive? And making sure that they know it's okay to call you or the trusted adult that they have in that family. So, you know, do we think it's going to be an all or nothing, black or white, I drink, I don't drink? I don't know if that's realistic, but how do we keep our children safe and educate them throughout that process? It's adolescence. It's growing up. They're going to make mistakes, but how do we support them through those mistakes?
And there's a common thread here since you came on the show straight from the beginning, and it's called prevention. Mm-hmm. It's called starting the conversation before we, you know, one of my favorite books is Catcher in the Rye. Before that kid goes over the rye,
right,
start the conversation ahead of time. And as you say, 12 and up, and even earlier, to show that you have discussions about everything and that they can, not just can come and talk to you, but can we make it that it's just part of the family culture, that we just blurt out everything that's going on with us and not be secretive and not be afraid of tattling, quote unquote, on a friend, you know, that might be dabbling and so forth. And so that theme of have a conversation with your children before it gets to the point where you really need to know what's going on and I'm going to rip that room apart looking for paraphernalia or what have you. And we have to understand, too, I think that, you know, we talk about peer pressure, but it's, I think peer pressure is more than just, oh, keeping up with the Joneses, because adults have peer pressure, too.
Sure.
So that conversation, that discussion, so that you don't have to ask the close-ended question.
And I think culture is a great word. We try and create a culture in our work environment. We try and create a culture in the community. Every family has a culture. And it's defining for that family what that culture is going to be. And having, you know, an area where they can talk to you really about anything. And how do you then, like you're saying, it's prevention. So when these things come up, what's our plan going to be? As a family, if you get into this situation, how are we going to handle that? Predictability is huge for kids. If this happens, then I know this is going to happen. And that'll help solve a lot of problems as well.
As well as consequences.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, Brooke, we're at the end of the show. We could go on for at least another hour. Thank you so much for coming. Thank you for the incredible work that you do. Thank you for the collaboration, not just with Hunterdon Helpline, but with all the other organizations. We get our tentacles out there, and together we at least address the problems and come up with solutions. And I've, again, enjoy working with you. So thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you very much, Susan. And the county is very lucky to have Helpline.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Coming up next, Home Sweet Home.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Mosques across the USA are now getting extra security after a pair of terrorist attacks in New Zealand at two mosques leave 49 people dead and dozens more injured. The police commissioner there says most of the victims were gunned down at one mosque in Christchurch as Friday prayers were commencing. Some of the attack was streamed on one of the suspects' Facebook accounts. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo speaking of the attack at the State Department moments ago.
The United States condemns this hateful assault. We pledge our unwavering solidarity with the government and people of New Zealand in this.